The reason we called it Neighbourhood Farm is because we wanted to feed the neighbourhood.
I think farming is important, especially here where we are in such a visible spot, because it does recreate that sense of connection to it.
This is The Producers. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Looking for a greater connection to the community, Matt Backer and Mika Oberon joined forces to create Neighbourhood Farm. Using the best organic and regenerative farming practices, they've not only captured the hearts of the neighbourhood, but the attention of some of Brisbane's best chefs too.
We're a small market garden, so in total we're about 3/4 of an acre in growing space, but our farm alone is about 1 acre. And we actually lease a neighbouring property for a box of veggies a week as well, and that's our extra 1/4 acre that we have. And we sell our veggies at our own farm gate stall once a week. So we open that every Friday and we sell directly to the public. We also sell to a couple of cafes and restaurants throughout Brisbane. So it's just a really diverse, I guess. We have to diversify as much as we can. And especially through COVID, like, we saw a lot of the restaurants shut down and it became quite quiet on that scene. But our market stall really picked up. So we had people almost waiting an hour and a half just to get veggies from our stall on a Friday. So, yeah, it's been quite amazing just to see all those changes over the last 2 years and how everything has worked during that time. It's been quite interesting. Mika Oberon's my partner in the business, and he's a lot younger than me, so he's 25 now. It's been really interesting to see someone so young be so focused on growing food from a young age. So he's been doing it since he was 18 or 19.
I grew up in a small country town in southwestern Western Australia. And for me, my childhood was always about food and people. And like, we used to go fishing at the beach, which was just 10 minutes from my place. And we always had a veggie patch. My dad was a bit of a gardener, and he worked on farms and stuff like that. And his granddad was actually a market gardener. So it just always felt like a big part of our childhood was like, when the garlic was ready, it was a big event. And when the artichokes were ready to eat, it was really exciting. And pesto, you know, I remember eating a lot of pesto. So it just really made a big mark on me, I think, having that direct connection to food and people and, yeah.
Matt also had a great connection to the land growing up, which built the foundation to understand the lengths it takes to bring quality produce to the table.
I grew up in the city when I was really young, so my mum was a chef, and my grandparents actually had a small pecan farm, which they also had a European cake business there. So I spent a lot of time there. But as I grew, like, was in primary school, we moved to a small hobby farm down near Lamington National Park. And, yeah, I spent a lot of time down there. Obviously, we grew our own vegetables. My grandparents grew a lot of their own vegetables, and they've got a European background. So there's lots of, you know, cucumbers and cabbage soups and things like that. My grandmother used to make beautiful cakes that she sold throughout Brisbane as well. So I spent a lot of my time down there, like, grinding nuts and things like that, and stealing strawberries and, you know, putting it in the icing sugar. And, yeah, it was just a great experience when I was younger. And my mother, being a chef, I spent a lot of time in restaurants sleeping under tables because my mother had to work long hours. But I'd always get to eat the best food. Yeah, I guess I've always been in agriculture. After school, I worked out west on some large cattle stations with sheep and cattle, and studied environmental science. So I've always been interested in that link between the environment and agriculture. It's been something that, yeah, it's really important. And I think being in an urban setting just adds that next level. So how do we create, you know, an environment that's, you know, that is sustainable or regenerative, and also grow food, and how do we get the neighbourhood, you know, to become more sustainable? It's been, yeah, part of, I guess, what we do at the farm. It's been really interesting.
When we think of farmers, most of us think of wide open spaces a few hours from the city. But Neighbourhood Farm is a small farm in Australia's third largest city, Brisbane.
We're on Jagera Turrbal country, and our farm is on the border of Oxley and Corinda. We have like large remnant rainforest, dry rainforest around us. The Brisbane River is really close to the farm, and it almost feels like when you come here, you're in, you know, you're almost entering into a rural area. So we have lots of paddocks next to the farm, but we are surrounded by houses. So we're kind of like a peri-urban neighbourhood setting. So it's a really interesting space. And we're only, you know, as the crow flies, about 10 kilometres from the city. So it's just, it's quite a good place to be to grow veggies, because we're really close to our customers, and we have, yeah, just a great space to be in.
Oh, well, it's just a really unique spot to find something like this so close to a large city like Brisbane. It's really, a lot of people who come down to where our farm is are quite surprised, actually, that this even exists here, you know, like having the river and having acres of rainforest and open paddocks and a wetland and farming space, obviously, too. It's really, there's not much else like it around here. So, yeah, I really enjoy it down here.
Matt and Mika produce a wide range of fresh vegetables and herbs, including an incredible array of tomatoes.
We actually grow up to, I'd say, probably 40 different vegetables, obviously not at one time, but throughout the year. So as the seasons change, we change what we grow. So we do a lot of, like at the moment, it's corn and tomatoes, shishito peppers. Do a lot of salad mixes and things like that, eggplants, herbs. And then through winter, we actually grow a lot more tomatoes through winter because the humidity drops. So we do a lot of our larger tomatoes then. But at the moment, we're also growing some determinants like San Marzanos, which are similar to traditional Italian sourcing tomatoes. And then we do a lot of cherry tomatoes as well. So, you know, like some hybrids that we do, Sanchicola and Sugarinos, which are more suited here during those hotter months. It's quite difficult to grow the heirlooms in the hot months, but once winter comes around, we get our opportunity to grow all those really nice heirloom varieties like Cherokee Purples and Black Russians. They're the kind of things that we grow throughout the year. And I'd say the tomatoes are probably our draw card for the stall. It's one of the main things that people come for because they know every week we've got really good, tasty tomatoes. And it's something that we've worked on for a long time. And probably the first 4 years, we really didn't achieve in the tomato growing section. It takes quite a while to grow a good tomato, especially in our environment.
Brisbane is pretty challenging climate for a lot of things, but yeah, particularly tomatoes through the hotter and humid times of the year. We have so many bugs at the farm, especially at the moment with all the rain, and it's just crazy, like the amount of insects and mold and fungus and all kinds of things that come for the plants. So yeah, like a huge challenge this year has been just the sheer amount of water in the ground and in the atmosphere, you know, like all the tomatoes are exploding and splitting and rotting. And so yeah, like using greenhouses has been really beneficial for producing good tomatoes and just really trying to increase the airflow. Like we set up fans this year, which are constantly moving air through and around the plants, which really helps just to move some of that moisture and cut down on the humidity. So yeah, there's a few tricks we picked up.
Tomatoes come in many shapes and sizes, but with a strong connection from seed to plate, Matt and Mika really look forward to a few specialty lines coming into season.
Actually, for summer at the moment, I mean, I love the cherry tomatoes, but the San Marzano is a great cooking tomato, but I actually also like, I grate it into a bowl just with salt and pepper and then put it on a good sourdough. So our stall, we also sell other people's products. And Riser Bread does this amazing sourdough that we sell. So we get, you know, as soon as we pack the stall on a Friday, we get a loaf of bread as well. And, yeah, that's probably the first thing I do is grate some San Marzanos and yeah, put them on toast. It's just, yeah, it's amazing. But the other one, in winter, the Cherokee Purples are probably a favorite. They're really dark, fleshy tomato that just has so much flavor, and you can use it in, you know, sauces or have it fresh. It's just, yeah, it's an amazing tomato to eat.
A great tomato has like a kind of saltiness to it, which is something we've noticed in our tomatoes a lot, because we actually have quite a salty soil, which is bad for some things, but it's actually great for tomatoes because it adds a real kind of depth of flavor. So like when they're really good flavor like that, you can just literally, you know, cut them in half, put them in the sun for a few minutes, put a bit of olive oil and salt, and it's just the best thing ever.
With such an intensive hands-on connection to the food they produce, experiencing the fruits of their labor in a restaurant setting completes the full circle on the importance of what they do.
I guess joy, for instance, is probably the greatest experience that we have. We've been lucky to go there a couple of times this year. And yeah, Sarah and Maddie just really make you think about what's possible with the vegetables that you grow and what you can turn that into. You know, it's not just the flavor and everything, it's also I guess the show of it, the idea, you know, that this is something that you can present that is amazing. And it's fun. It's kind of the experimental side of what we do. It's like looking at the things that we probably wouldn't recognize. And you know, Sarah occasionally comes down to the farm and starts picking things, and she looks at vegetables very differently. I think for one thing, I remember her picking borage flowers and describing them as tasting like rain. And it's just something that we've never really, you know, we wouldn't think of. I guess we think a lot more basic about those kind of things. So, yeah, it's that experience. And we do get a few chefs that come to the farm occasionally when they get a chance and pick things, and it's kind of that experimental and fun part of farming that we've been really excited about.
Yeah, it feels amazing. It's just really special to see something that you've worked on for so long and you've struggled over through all the weather conditions and et cetera, and to see what someone else does with it is quite amazing. It's kind of the whole reason why we do it, really.
Growing vegetables is only part of the joy of working the land. For both Matt and Mika, the relationships forged with the local community is really at the heart of what they do.
The reason we called it Neighbourhood Farm is because we wanted to feed the neighbourhood, and the stall is always our first port of call, so it's our priority. That has allowed us to I guess, grow in many other ways. So we know many of the people that live in our neighbourhood, and we both live 200 to 300 metres from the farm. And, you know, sometimes it takes us half an hour to walk to the farm because we stop and talk to everyone on the street. And, you know, it's something that's tangible for people too. So we have a lot of people that volunteer at the farm twice a week, and a lot of them are neighbors who come down, people who live in the neighborhood. And we're now looking at doing a lot more workshops and that side of things. So I guess for us, it's that ability to be a bit of a hub for a whole range of things, and it's that connector. I really enjoy knowing all the neighbors in my neighborhood. I think it's something that we, you know, lack a little in some places, especially in urban areas. And we'd love to see, you know, heaps more farms like ours in Brisbane, if it's possible, and around Australia.
I think it's important because we have such a disconnect between people and food and the land that provides that food. So, yeah, I really notice it, especially coming from a small town, moving into a larger city. I really felt that sense of how disconnected people are from farming and from the land and from nature itself, really. So I think farming is important, especially here where we are in such a visible spot, because it does recreate that sense of connection to it.
Neighbourhood Farm has solidified Matt and Mika's belief in working with nature to forge incredible food and connections with the community too.
I mean, Brisbane already has a really good small-scale food scene, I guess. So there's other growers like Loop Growers and Millen Farm who are, you know, on the north side. We've got Food Connect who link all the small-scale farmers together, or, you know, smaller growers together, and we buy some of their produce for the farm gate stall to fill it out with the things that we can't grow, like potatoes and that. So I guess it's that connection as well that we have with all the food that's grown around here and what people are producing. It's just enjoyable, and yeah, I think, you know, eating food is the best way to connect with people.
For me, it's just opened up a whole new world of people and experiences that I don't think I really would have had much access to. I've met so many people doing amazing things around Brisbane that I never would have expected, you know, and they're really interesting, unique thinkers and engaged in their communities and creative and interested in health and well-being and all those things. So in that sense, it's really just changed my whole life, really. I'd really, really love to see what we're doing here expand outward a bit more. It's been 6-7 years now that we've been here, and we've made so much progress, and I think we've really developed the vision for what we want to actually accomplish in the long term. So that really involves more people and teaching more workshops about growing food and just spreading that message, you know, that anyone can do this. We can all grow food. There's plenty of space around the city. I'd like to see it become a platform or a space that people can come and learn, and for that message just to spread outward from where we are now. Farming in the way we do really encapsulates all those things. It brings people together, it provides amazing food, and it gives you that direct connection to the natural
neighborhood
world.
Farm is a wonderful example of sustainable design in a high density population. The natural farming practices not only regenerate the soil, but showcase how to regenerate urban areas and lifestyles and demonstrate positive alternatives. And the proof is in the pudding. This is The Producers, a Deep in the Weeds production. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we share the stories of producers, farmers, makers, and growers, the true lifeblood of the food industry. Follow us on Instagram at Producers Podcast or email us at producerspodcast@deepintheweeds.com. www.markethouse.org.au.